is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Dear Lord, we bless You today for Your many blessings You bestowed upon us, Your mercy and Your grace and Your favor. Lord, we glorify Your name. How great You are, how worthy You are, how loving You are, how faithful You are. Thank You for being all that we need You to be, just when we need it. We find all sufficiency in You. All we have needed, Your hand hath provided. Great is Your faithfulness unto us. Lord, we ask now that You will speak a word to us, that we might be better for You, that we might be encouraged, we might be inspired to keep on a little while longer. Will You heal, deliver, set free, break the shackles in the name of Jesus? We love You and we praise You, and we receive every blessing You have for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, put those hands together and bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. St. John chapter 11. Good morning to all of you, and to all of our ministers and the leadership of this house, and to all of you, my Father's children. To those who may be worshiping with us online, we thank God for Your presence, but we certainly thank God for His presence today. Yes. That God has blessed us once again, yes, through another week, yes, to be in His house, yes, to give Him the glory, yes, and give Him the praise. Yes. Yes. Yes, God has been good to us. Yes. God is good to us. Yes. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. St. John chapter 11. There's a word we want the Lord laid on our heart to share with you today, and I pray that by the time we get done, it'll make some sense to you. St. John chapter 11, and all of it's good, and I encourage you to read it in your study time. With benefit of preachment today, I want to just start at verse number 33. St. John chapter 11, begin at verse number 33. When you find it, say amen. 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 Word of God reads thusly. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" That's enough. You may be seated in the presence of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. The word of our Lord shall stand forever. Amen. For the time that we have together today, I want to share with you from this thought, when you buried your blessing. I want to talk this morning about when you buried your blessing. What has happened to the believer's joy? What has happened to the believer's excitement? What has happened to the believer's zeal and passion? What has happened to our praise? What has happened to our consistency? What has happened to our expectation? God's word to us today is, highly possible we buried it. Something didn't go the way we thought it ought to go. Life began to happen. Difficulties came about. And soon, one day, one evening, one night, some of us made the resolution, "I'm done, and I'm going to bury it." No more faith. If it happens, it happens. I've conditioned myself every day. In case things don't go the way I want them to go. I have conditioned myself to handle whatever comes. So much so that I get up in the morning expecting failure, expecting negativity, expecting to be hurt, expecting to be disappointed, expecting to be fired, expecting to be disappointed because I buried my blessing. It didn't happen when I thought it ought to happen, so I buried it. It didn't go the way I thought it ought to go, so I buried it. It broke my heart, so I buried it. It disappointed me, so I buried it. I stopped expecting God to do anything for me. I'll put on my smile when I'm supposed to. I'll do my job like I'm supposed to. I'll go through the motions like I'm supposed to. That way y'all can't say I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'll come to church because it's Sunday morning, so don't say I'm not being faithful. But if you're expecting me to believe that God's going to meet my need, hang it up. If you're expecting me to praise him in advance and he ain't done nothing in the past, hang it up. If you're expecting me to be excited about something and I see what my bank account shows me, you can hang it up. If you're expecting me to be excited and praise God about my healing, I heard what the doctor told me Friday. If you're expecting me to fall in love again, as many times I had my heart broken, you can hang it up. Because I have buried my blessing. And I've conditioned myself that if it doesn't go so well, I won't be disappointed. Because, see, it's a whole lot shorter fall from low than it is to get up high. And I've conditioned myself not to get excited anymore. I'll come in church and I'll clap my hands a little while and I'll praise God a little while. I'll say amen a little while. God is good, but God ain't good to me. God is a blesser, but God ain't blessing me like I want. God is a healer, but he ain't do it for my mama. God is a provider, but I'm still broke. So it's not that I really have a problem with God as for who he is, but I'm struggling about how God does what he does. So if you think I'm going to be one of these fanatical people who go praise God and I'm going to go give him worship and I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to praise him, if you think I'm going to be one of them fanatical fools, I got too much sense now because God did give you good sense. So why would I keep walking by faith and I have no reason to even get up in the morning? You don't know all the stuff I've been through. You don't know how many times I had my heart broken. You don't know how many things I've been through this week. You don't know how many people disappointed me. You don't know all I've been through. So shut up trying to get me to lift my hand. Stop getting me trying to give God praise because I buried my blessing. I buried it. And I buried it because I think it died. You bury something that died. You bury something you don't need. You bury something you don't want. And I don't want the blessing anymore because it didn't go my way. And I know I got an attitude, but I buried my blessing. I know I'm dry because I buried my blessing. I know I'm going through the motions because I buried my blessing. I know I'm not doing what I ought to do, but I buried my blessing because I stopped expecting. Here I am in church today. Leave me alone. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, God. Now, how much more do you want out of me? Because every time I do what you say do, you don't do what you say you go do. So I made a decision a long time ago. I didn't tell you about it. I didn't tell anybody what I did. But I buried that blessing. All my hope was in this, and it didn't go my way. I put everything I had into it. I put all my trust into it. And it didn't go well. I prayed and I fasted that you would save my mama. And my mama died. I'm burying it. Don't ask me to believe you anymore. Don't ask me to go by faith anymore. Because it didn't go the way it was supposed to go. My whole faith is shaken. I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. Everything these preachers taught me is not working. Everything I thought I believed about this Bible, that was for them, but that ain't for me. Maybe I've just sinned too much. Maybe I've messed up so much that I know I don't deserve any blessings.
Maybe I done sinned and I fell short. I done drank too much. I done smoked too much. I done slept around too much. And maybe because they threw with me, maybe God is done with me. And so I'm just really lost in the house. I'm here because I know nothing else to do. I've been in church 30 years. I've been in ministry 40 years. Truth be told, I really don't get excited. I just don't know anything else but to go through the motions. I know how to lift a hymn. I know how to preach a sermon. I know how to find all the books of the Bible, but they don't really get off the pages to me. I used to have the word in my heart, but now they don't do me any good. I better have good sense in my head, because the more word I have in my heart, I'm going to start believing again. And so when things don't go well, and so when I start getting a little excited, I calm myself down. When I start getting a little anticipatory, I calm myself down, because I don't want to get my hope up again. I don't know if I can survive another disappointment. I don't know if I can handle another heartbreak. So wait, every time I get excited about something, hold on, get some sense. Calm down. Maybe I need to stay away from church for a while. Maybe I need to break away from ministry because I'm starting to get irritable. And now I'm starting to pay attention to people more than I did. And everybody in church seem to be hypocritical. I know everybody in Walmart ain't right, but I got to go to Walmart. I know everybody in my job ain't right, but I got to go to my job. But truth be told, I really don't have to go to church. I don't have to be in ministry. I can be just as much Christian at home as I can at church, because this has some gamblers in there. It's some liars in there. It's some fornicators in there. It's some adulterers in there. So it's okay to really not be in the word. They not doing it better than me. And they struggling just like I am. So it really doesn't matter if I go or if I don't go. So I don't have to be in choir anymore. I don't have to be a deacon anymore. I don't really need to preach anymore. I don't have to be in church to still have the word, because ain't nobody doing no better than nobody else. I buried my blessing. Most of us here today, a majority of us, are not believing. A majority of us are here hoping and wishing that some good might happen. You are one disappointment away from forfeiting everything God told you. What do you do when you are a friend of God, but doesn't seem like God's being a friend to you? You got company today because these individuals in this text, Mary and Martha, are friends of Jesus. They have fed him. Gospel of Luke records a situation, a setting, when Jesus was in their home, and he was teaching them. He is a constant guest of them in Bethany. They fed him. They have fried fish for him. They have baked cakes and pies for him. They have given him lodging. They've been good to Jesus. If anybody the Lord ought to be good to, it's the folk that's been good to him. If there's anybody who deserves to be blessed today, it ought to be Mary and Martha. If anybody who deserves blessings, it ought to be people who've been in New Zion for the last 30 years. If anybody who deserves to be blessed and have miracles in their life, it ought to be people who don't stop cussing so much. The people who don't put the liquor down. The people who starting to dot every I and cross every T. You would think that the people who've been good to God ought to expect every day God will be good to them and do everything that they want him to do when he wants them to do it. And life happens, my friends. And Lazarus, the brother, gets sick. Sick unto death. Jesus gets word of this and says, this sickness is not unto death, but that God may get the glory. Now, you got to understand something. Anytime you hear us teach about the Gospel of John not just shows us Jesus, the Son of God, but it shows us Jesus, God, the Son. And so we see, whenever you see Jesus in the Gospel of John, it's God talking. So God is saying, this is not for death, it's for me to get the glory. Problem is, he didn't tell Mary and Martha this. He didn't tell them he's going to let this happen in their house. He didn't tell them, he didn't give them a little cheat sheet to their life and say, tomorrow I'm going to send something to your house. Next week I'm going to send a little trouble to your family. Next week I'm going to let you get sick. He doesn't give us details about stuff he lets happen. And then, so we get funny acting with God, because if we so cool, why you ain't tell me? Somebody here today is kind of indignant with God because you going through something the Lord ain't tell you nothing about. The Lord ain't tell you you was going to get old. The Lord didn't tell you your back was going to hurt. The Lord ain't tell you you going to have no sugar. The Lord ain't tell you about no high blood pressure. The Lord didn't tell you you was going to get fired. The Lord didn't tell you you was going to go through this. The Lord didn't tell you you was going to be laid off. He didn't tell you you was going to have a divorce. He didn't tell you your mama's going to get cancer. He didn't tell you your daddy's going to go through. He didn't tell you your family. He didn't tell you. And you frustrated this morning because you're dealing with something the Lord ain't tell you about. They didn't tell him. He tells everybody else, but it's the, but them. It's not the death. It's for the glory of God. He gets word one day. He don't leave till the next day. By the time Jesus gets to Bethany, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Now Jesus not only is going to get ready to teach Mary and Martha a lesson, but he's got disciples who don't get it. Because they're saying, why would you go back over there and them people trying to kill you? Why would you, when you got the church folk who don't even want to go with the Lord, because they don't believe that they think it's too dangerous to do ministry. They don't take a chance. So Jesus is dealing with a whole lot of faithless people on his way to Calvary. And here he is, brothers and sisters. Jesus waits for no other reason than to give himself glory. He waits because he lets Lazarus get really dead. I'm going to try again. He lets Lazarus get really dead. He believed that in three days the spirit is still holding above in the atmosphere, and so the spirit could still get into a person. So Jesus made sure nobody but him. Okay, maybe that should have been a word for somebody. Maybe your life is so bad right now, not because you've been bad, but that nobody but the Lord can get the glory from it. Because too often we give our job the credit. Too often we give our help the credit. Too often we give our intellect the credit. Maybe your life is jacked up this morning, so nobody but God can get the glory. And when you start giving God the glory, you'll understand it better by and by. I wish I had about three people who got a little bit of faith in their heart and realize, even if I don't understand you, I'm still going to trust you, even though I can't trace you. Here it is. He comes, he gets word, he don't leave till the next day. It's a day's journey. Now Jesus is just 2 miles from Bethany in Jerusalem. He's 2 miles from Jerusalem, Bethany. Jesus travels a whole day's journey to get to where he needs to go, and he don't leave until he feel like it. It's an emergency situation, and the Lord don't hurry. Everybody hurries but the Lord. Come on now, God. Do it for me right now. Right now, I need you. It's an emergency. If you don't come right now, I don't know what's going to happen. So it appears that the Lord is too late. He shows up, and then Jesus, y'all, doesn't come into Bethany. He goes to the outskirts of town. Martha gets word that Jesus is around. And watch this. This ain't the point. I'm getting this to you for free. She had to go to him. He late and inaccurate. He show up late and he still don't come to my house. Wait a minute. That means that the Lord came only so far and wants to see how far you gonna still go. Because, now watch this. It's not like he don't know where their house is. Because it was good enough for him to come and eat. It's good enough for him to come get some sleep. It's good enough for him to come get lodging. But now he can't come to the same house and do a miracle? Oh, that don't seem fair, does it? And somebody this morning feels like God ain't being fair with you because it was good enough for this. But now when you really need him, he won't even come to your house. That means you got to make a move and you got to go to him. You thought that he would just come to your house and you ain't got to move. And now he's telling you, Bible says Martha gets word
that Jesus is near, and she goes to Jesus. Now, problem is you got some folk with Martha and Mary who helping them grieve, not helping them pray. You see, every last one of us got a crowd around us. They either got some pallbearers or armor bearers. You got a lot of people who will help you for foolishness, but they won't help you with faith. A whole crowd of folk are coming around Martha because they think she's finna go to the graveyard. She runs to meet Jesus. Jesus, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I'm going to try again. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You knew Lazarus was sick. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. He said, well, Martha, this sickness is not unto death, baby. He said, sweetheart, understand, it's not over. Your brother's sleeping. He says, understand, I am the resurrection and the life. Yeah, I know I'm going to see him. He said, watch this. He said, I know you're going to see your brother again. This thing ain't over. You finna see your brother. Yeah, I know the resurrection of the last day. I done been to Sunday school. I done been to BTU. I know what the lesson says, but I'm talking to the Lord right now. Watch this. I don't want no sermon. I need some salvation. I don't want no message. I want a miracle. Who am I talking to this morning? You in the house right now. You ain't got no business. You don't want to hear no word. You need a miracle. And the Lord telling you, yeah, I know you're finna give me a lesson about on the last day that we all gonna be raised up and we gonna see each other again. But that don't make me feel better right now. He said, you're being so sarcastic, you're finna miss your blessing. And a lot of us in here right now are so sarcastic, being too deep, and you're gonna miss out on what you need right now, trying to be too deep. He says, what you looking for, you're looking at. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believe in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said, you know what, Lord, you done checked me. She said, I believe that you're able to do it. She goes back home. Mary, Jesus is here. Mary, you the same one that was at his feet worshiping in Luke. He's here. Mary gets up and goes to Jesus. People keep going. The crowd follows because they think they're finna go watch a balloon release. They thank Mary and Martha to go have a candlelight ceremony, and they don't understand Jesus getting ready to turn this whole funeral into a praise party. And I need somebody to understand today some of this stuff that you getting ready to think is going to die. I dare you to change your perspective and say, as long as I got the Lord with me, this whole thing got a chance to turn upside down. Put down that black suit, put up that black dress, and get ready to give God praise for what he's going to do in your life. Here it is. Here it is. Everything in this is built around this question that he asks. He says, where have you laid it? Where did you bury it? Begins today, y'all. If we're going to dig it up, what we buried. Because watch this. If you look at this whole text and study it, they buried him, but they didn't embalm him. The Jews believed in embalming bodies, and it's been 4 days. Why would you not embalm him? You know why you didn't embalm him? Because you were in your feelings and not going by practice. Because sometimes in a feeling, you bury stuff that ain't supposed to be buried yet. Somebody will tell God, thank you today that I didn't embalm it, I just buried it. Because if I didn't embalm it, I'd have missed out on what God could have done in my life. But somebody's shout today is, I did bury it, but I can go dig it back up again because it ain't dead to the point of no return. Here it is. It's going to take a couple of things. It's going to take, number one, consultation with the law, by the Lord's reputation. Consultation based on the Lord's reputation. I'm going to tell you why I said that. They come and consult the Lord. Now, watch this. Watch this, y'all. Here's what I love about prayer. Here's what I love about being in the presence of God. He'll let you talk to him, and you mad at him. He'll let you talk to him, and you don't even understand what he's doing. These are people who mad at him, and Mary comes to his feet. You missed it.
Now, I can't just come to the Lord's feet when he do what I want.
Uh-oh.
I got to come to his feet even when I understand what's going on. Mary goes to the same posture she was in when he was in my house and I'm cooking for him. Just because he's going stuff in my life, I'm in a confused place, but I'm still going to be at the Lord's feet because he's still Lord God. He's still my everything. He is still sovereign. Even though I don't understand what's going on, I don't know what he's doing in my life, I'm not going to get an attitude. I'm still going to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm still going to bless his holy name. He's still worthy of the glory. He's still worthy of the praise, even though I don't understand him. One of our challenges, my friends, is to stop being so conditional with God. No, kids fool with you when they ain't mad at you. Immature people fool with you when they got a problem with you. And then when I got a problem with you, I avoid you. That's kid stuff. I'm talking good. That's kid stuff. When you got a problem with somebody, you avoid them. You stay away from them. You get out of their path. Mary and Martha don't understand the Lord right now. And they're frustrated because he didn't come when they wanted him to. But they still go to his feet. Mary says to him, she consults with him. Master, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus looks around. He sees not only Mary, but he sees all these people who are helping her cry. The Bible says he starts to get angry. Not angry necessarily just about their lack of faith. That's part of his anger. The other part of his anger is the fact that he sees the condition that Satan is doing. He's seeing what Satan is doing to God's people. That these people are running more behind burials than they are baptisms. That people are so conditioned to negativity that even when the Lord show up, they don't get happy. Y'all miss this. The Lord is there, and they say it. I'm going to try again. The Lord done showed up, and they still don't have any faith. They still don't get excited because the Lord has shown up, and they still don't get it. It grieves the Lord when his people don't get happy about him. Here it is. And it takes a consultation. So other folks say it. So the Bible says Jesus began to weep. Jesus wept. Jesus didn't weep because he felt like, ooh, I can't do this. He wept because he sees people who don't get him. He sees the condition of his people, and it causes him to weep. But the people see Jesus weeping, and they say, it's a shame. Because 2 chapters ago, he healed a blind man. But he can't seem to get Lazarus up. His reputation precedes him. He is known as a healer, yet in this moment, he don't seem to be healing. And so the people who've been around him see him, and they don't believe in him anymore. They've heard his reputation, but they don't see him doing anything right now. Talking good yet? Here it is. It's a consultation based on the Lord's reputation. Let me move and hurry. But then you got to have cooperation under the Lord's regulation. You go back and dig it up. And you done buried your blessing. He says some stuff to them. He asks them, number one, where did you lay it? So then he gets so indignant because he sees them not living by faith. He sees them sitting here in their feelings. So he asks the question, where have you laid him? They say, come see. Jesus goes to see this scene. They take him to the graveyard. And Jesus sees this scene. He sees this cave with a stone rolled in front of it. So he says to him, he just looks at him and says, look at this here. And so he says to him, move the stone. Waiting on me, I'm waiting on you. Here's something I want to slow down and tell you. Stop asking the Lord to remove stuff you put in place. See, he's not responsible for that stone being there. Y'all put that stone there, so y'all go move that stone. I know y'all, man. Lord, move this stone. No, you go move that stone. Because you the one put that stone over there. You put that stone because you didn't believe I could do nothing for you. So you the one who did it. So you the one who go move it. Because, see, you called me not to the stone. You called me to Lazarus. So the question is, if we go cooperate with the Lord, we got to remove stuff that's been blocking us from our blessings. I'm talking, Ben, y'all saying amen. What or who is it that's blocking you from the Lord today? It's maybe not that God don't want to do it for you, but you got too much stuff in the way that's blocking God's deliverance in your life. It's too many people. Your job in the way. Your bay is in the way. Your money is in the way. Your business is in the way. Your position is in the way. And the Lord can't move because you got too many stones there. Move the stone. If you want me to be in charge, you got the, here it is, you ready? If you want the Lord to move, you got to do what he tell you. Look at that, look at, did you hear that? Did you hear that lack of amen right there? That's how I know I'm talking good. Because all we think is the Lord got to do something. But the Lord done told us what to do. And can I tell you the truth about most of us? Most of us are struggling because we won't obey. Okay, I just amen myself. Amen, preacher. You want to be disobedient and delivered. You want to be saved and stubborn. You want his will, but your way. Move the stone. Move the stone. I don't even know where y'all got that stone from. Because you buried him in a cave. It's not even meant to be closed up. You're putting something somewhere that don't fit. Because it was a temporary fix. It was just anything. As long as we put a stone on it, we ain't got to see it. So let me put something there, so because every time I pass that cave, I'm going to remember what didn't work. So let me put a stone there so I ain't got to deal with what's going on the inside. But he said, if you go let him be the Lord, you got to listen to him. He says, move the stone. Here's what they're saying. Lord, it stinks. By now, surely it stinks because he's been here 4 days. So I'm surely by now, it stinks. My question to you, can you handle the stink long enough to accept what the Lord has for you? See, we're in a season where we want everything clean and pretty and neat. But some deliverance, y'all, has got to be dirty. It's going to take you having to deal with discomfort for a while in order to bring about ultimate comfort. Y'all don't like me today, but that's all right. You and I have got to deal with the stink. Stop giving him excuses like he don't know it stink. Guess what? If you'd have waited, on him, it wouldn't stink. Some of the stink you started. You got to cooperate with the Lord's regulation. Lord, it stinks. Jesus says to him, just move the stone. Don't worry about the smell. Just let me move. Now, if Jesus can handle it, how come we can't? Because see, the stink reminds them of the death. And they are afraid to trust him again and go to the nitty-gritty because it's going to remind them of the failure. Somebody in the last 20 minutes has shut this message off. You know why you shut it off? Because I started saying some stuff through the Holy Spirit today that reminded you of the stink of your situation. And you are not willing to go back to the stink because it makes you uncomfortable with what's going on in your life. And today God gives us this opportunity. I'm not going to let you bypass the stink. You did it. You said it. You went there. You committed it. Acknowledge the fact I did it. Maybe the stink is a sign of what needs to change. Because a lot of time we want stuff to smell good, but it ain't good. Well, we're going to get out of here now. I'm learning not to fight like I used to.
cooperation with the Lord's regulation. And then lastly, you're going to see captivation by the Lord's restoration. Here it is. He says, where did you land? That means you take him to the place where you buried it, but you got to cooperate with him when he tells you how to get it out, and then watch him do his work. When you've done your part, watch the Lord do his part. There is a balance between divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Watch this, y'all. Jesus starts talking to God about you. Father, I know you know, you already heard me say this, but I need you to do this so they can see it. Because they ain't believing you because they see me. So I'm going to ask you one more time, Lord, do it in their presence so that they'll see and finally believe in you and believe in me. Watch this. Watch this. They move the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Somebody should have got happy then. You know why you didn't get happy? Because the stone blocking your hearing. You notice Jesus didn't speak to Lazarus till stuff was out the way. Oh, yeah. Move the stone, and the Lord can speak. Lazarus, come forth. Old preachers say if he just said come forth, Abraham would have got up. Elijah would have got up. Other folk would have got up. So the Lord, when the Lord knows, that ought to give you a shot today. When the Lord calls you forth, he going to call you by name. I don't have to bypass. I don't have to stab nobody in the back. I ain't got to cheat nobody in line. The Lord knows your name. Lazarus, come forth. Now watch this. You got to watch this. Who's the one that asked? It's Mary and Martha looking for it. Lazarus is a beneficiary. Watch this. Mary and Martha are the one who asked the Lord. But watch this, church. The Lord didn't call their name to get Lazarus out. Can you handle the Lord not calling your name and you still be blessed because the Lord called somebody else's name? Because watch this. Lazarus' name means Jehovah has helped. Your help will come if you take your hands off of it and let the Lord not call your name and you still see a blessing in the meantime. Watch this. Here it is. I'm done. Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says he that was stinking, he that was dead, he that was decaying, got up. How we know he got up? Because he still had the grave clothes on him. It was the same way we buried him, but now he don't look the same because he's moving around in grave clothes. Here it is. And Jesus gives one more command. Loose him. And let him go. Because just cause it's out don't mean it's not bound. And some stuff we've tried to control, which is why it got in the shape it got in the first place. You buried it because you wanted to control it. You wanted God to come in your time. You controlling it. Because watch this, last time I checked now, if you understand the burial process, you got to bound it up before you bury. You don't bury it, then tie it up. It was tied up before it even got buried. So you got two problems here with this. You done bound up your blessing, and because your blessing couldn't move, you had no choice but to bury it. Because you wouldn't let it move. You only wanted to do it when your favorite preacher was there. When it was your Sunday to sing. When your favorite people there. So it was bound up. The Lord wanted to move for you last week, but because of what you weren't there, because you wouldn't show up, you had the thing bound. Because it was only during revival, or only during the anniversary, or only when it's Bible study, or only certain times you weren't loose. And so you bound it up. God wanted to show up in times you weren't expecting, but you had it bound up. Trick to it is, keep it loose, you don't know when the Lord gonna move. Keep it free. All your hope. The Lord says to you today, I freed you, but you won't set it free. I've reawakened your blessing,
but you won't set it free. I'm giving you ministry. I done told you I'm restart your ministry, but you still trying to put old stuff on it. You putting tradition on what I want to do new. And old ways will not open new doors. Bible says, the folk who saw this, the folk who was there helping to mourn and grieve at the balloon release, they had t-shirts, and the gangsters had their locs on. They finna pull one for their homie. What do you do when ain't nothing to pull for? You got a shirt with somebody who's now alive. Cause just cause you gave up on it, don't mean the Lord gave up on it. God's challenge to us today. Go back to where you buried it. You notice something strange about that question? He didn't ask, what did you bury? He says, where? Where did you bury it? Today you got to do some difficult work. Musician, play softly. You got to do some difficult work for a few moments. And you got to look back to when you last had passion. See, when you last had excitement about the Lord. I ain't talking about what you felt. I'm talking about when you last had it. And go back to where you buried it. Stop asking the Lord to go to it. Because he never told you to bury it. And God's word to somebody today, you're living with buried treasures. Praise is in that cave. Your excitement is in that cave. Your miracle is back in that cave. And you got so messed up about life as it was that you decided to bury it because you didn't believe in it anymore. But your hope is somewhere in your hands, but you buried it a long time ago. If somebody today needs to get that back, I dare you to come to this altar with me. If you lost it, you buried it, you got rid of it, you stopped believing, you stopped being excited, you stopped being passionate about what the Lord is doing, today be a mighty good day to come back to him. Perhaps you're not saved, and today you want to be saved. You want to have a relationship with Christ. I invite you to come to Christ today. But this word is for somebody, some believer, some child of God who has lost their passion. Who has lost their excitement, lost their enthusiasm about the kingdom. And today the Lord says you can go back and get it. And I'll bring it back fresh. Who are you? Where are you today? Are you here? My sister, are you here today? When you buried your blessing, if you're one of those who just doesn't get excited about everything God is doing, not even waking up in the morning expecting God to bless you, it'd be a good day for you to come. What is your response to what God has said? Remember, we can't be disobedient and then look for deliverance. If God has spoken to you directly, you and I have a responsibility to respond to it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So our ministers come to share with these or the others today.
who are here. Who are here. Glory to God. Those who are out there, I ask that you pray. I ask that you pray. Those who are out here, I ask that you pray that somebody will come to God today. That somebody will receive. There's a stone in this room today. There's a humongous stone in this house. And I need some people who don't mind praying that this stone be moved. That somebody will get their blessing back today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, will you move by your spirit? Will you bless these your people as we respond to your word? Will you move on hearts? Will you move on minds? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That we have the strength and the courage to go to where we buried it. The strength and the courage to go to where we buried it. To not be afraid. To deal with the discomfort. To deal with the stench. To renew us, restore us, replenish us, to refill us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name, God. Bless you, oh God. Bless you, oh God. Bless you, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. yes, Lord. Follow the Holy Spirit's guidance. I just need y'all to help me pray for our young people. Will y'all help me do that? Listen. Never in my life have I seen so many unhappy young people. Who we think have so many advantages. Play a lot of sports, have the latest shoes and clothes. But in the presence of God, I've never seen so many unhappy people, young people, in the presence of God. They're in God's house week after week with their heads bowed in shame. And I can't help but say that we adults bear that burden of blame, because unhappy children are produced by unhappy adults. We need to be better stewards of our young people. They look so shamed and sad and detached and despondent in God's presence. It's because many of us come in here detached, despondent, disgusted in God's house. And they feed off of that. Bible said, in that passage we just looked at, this passage we just studied, that when the people saw what God did in Lazarus for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, the people were captivated by it. They were astonished by what they saw and experienced and encountered. Who is being captivated by God in your life? If God is as good as we say he is to us, why is this not feeding on these young people? Why are they here with so much shame? And at this altar every week trying to figure life out on their own. That's an indictment against those of us who say we lead them and are examples to them. We can't continue to be selfish and self-absorbed that we don't recognize and acknowledge how God's trying to destroy a whole generation right under our nose. Week after week, I'm not saying that these young people need to be jumping on their feet, running all over the church, but to have their heads down in shame in God's house, that's something wrong. So I ask you in your daily prayers that you would, we may, as a family, that we would together do warfare on the enemy on behalf of our young people, that they will see the Lord and love the Lord and accept God's love for them, and to have a zeal and a passion for the Lord. I am the biggest sports fan in the world, and two nights ago I watched some of these same faces that's down now
I saw those same faces excited about a victory over Caldwell. And it's something wrong if they can't be that excited 2 days later about a victory over Satan. We're doing something wrong. We're doing something wrong. I'm not trying to embarrass any of them. I'm not trying to put any of them on blast. I'm just doing what the Lord showed me. These are some miserable young people. In God's presence, they ought to feel the relief and the encouragement of just being in God's house. That's why we must do a better job of understanding that these young people watching us, and they need to know God loves them and God takes care of us. That mama might have bills, but the Lord is taking care of mama. The Lord is taking care of you. The Lord is taking care of us. It's God who ought to get the glory in our home. It's time to get back to family prayer. It's time to get back to family sharing about the goodness of God. I'm not talking about talking at them. I'm talking about talking to them and telling them about how good God is, who God is in our life. Let me tell you something. Mama might have a degree. Daddy might have a good job, but the Lord provided all this. Don't you get it twisted. Mom and Daddy ain't making this thing without the Lord. And I got to teach you how to respect and reverence God like I'm respecting and reverencing God. I will not have you walk on the back of them shoes because God made a way. I will not have you disrespect this house because God gave us this house. I will not have you disobedient because God been too good for us not to line up. Will y'all just join me in praying for them in your daily prayers? Will we do that as a family? Can we do that? Come on, give God praise in advance for the turnaround that's coming. Yes. If you really believe it.